If you're going through 2 Corinthians, Paul has been talking to the Corinthian church now about the problems going on in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem is going through a time of suffering. They've gone through a time of famine. They were in a time of poverty right now. So Paul was encouraging their brothers and sisters in Christ at the Corinthian church to help out the Jerusalem church, and they were supposed to take an offering and give it to them. And we'll find out from our passage today even more clearly that this offering was something they were wanting to do in times past. So now as we get into our study in chapter 9, he's continuing on with this offering he's been talking about back in chapter 8. So it says in chapter 9, verse 1, "There's no need for me to write to you about this service to the saints, for I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them since last year you and Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action." So Paul lets us see something about the heart of the church here at Corinth. These people had heard about the problems going on in the Jerusalem church a year ago, and they said, "We want to do something about that. We've got the resources here that we can help them." So they had already given some, apparently, from what we saw in chapter 8, but they apparently were going to take a big offering that they could really plan and work toward, and when they got that offering together, they were going to send that down to the Jerusalem church. Well, the time was getting close where they were supposed to have that gift ready. Now, I notice a few things as we look at this. He says at the beginning here in verse 2, "For I know your eagerness to help." And I have to ask myself this question: how eager am I to help? You know, when I see there's a need somewhere, especially with a Christian brother or sister, am I eager to help them? You know, do I step up to the plate and say, "I can do something about that, I can help out"? And that's what he's talking about here, remember. There's a real need that's going on. So the question we ask, and we can ask ourselves this, examine our heart, am I eager to help? You know, and there's a few things I think that might hold us back. We might say, "Man, I don't want to do anything right now. You know, I just don't feel like doing that." Well, that's probably laziness, okay, that's holding us back on that one. Or you might say, "I don't know about helping them. I don't want them to have my stuff." Well, that's greed, okay? So there are a few things that might stop us from being the person who wants to help when we see a need. And it all basically comes back to our selfish life, that we want to do our thing, okay? But I think if we ask that honestly of ourselves and ask, am I the kind of person that when I hear my brother and sister is hurting and they have a need and there is something I could do about it, and am I one to step up and say, "Yeah, I want to help out"? Because if we're at the point of saying, you know, I fall in those other categories too often where I'm saying I'm selfish or I'm lazy, I don't want to do anything about it. If that's the case, and right now the Lord is challenging us, you know, and saying, "Lord, change my heart. I need you to change me because I need to be more like you." Okay? So there's a question we can ask right off the bat. Then he goes on to say in verse 2, "For I know your eagerness to help, and I've been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you and Achaia were ready to give." So Paul has been boasting about these guys' eagerness to give. So I ask myself that question too. Am I that giving that other people would boast to their friends about it? You know, would they say, "Oh yeah, Chuck, if you need something, man, you can go to him because he's the one that'll help, you know. And if we have a need, we can ask him because he's the kind of person that wants to help." So there's a good question too, you know. Am I giving enough person where somebody else recognizes that and says, "Yeah, that's the kind of person they are"? And they don't even have to be boasting about it, just telling about it, you know. We've had folks who have blessed us in our life, and yeah, we have shared some great testimonies about what they have done, you know, and said, "Yeah, the Lord really used them in our life, and we praise the Lord for them." So, yeah, am I that giving that other people would recognize it and actually tell people about it? And then the third thing I see here, he says as he goes on in verse 2, and he says, "And your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action." So the question again I ask is, am I so enthusiastic about giving that it would stir up somebody else to want to give also? You know, because this is a cool thing that if we are following in the Lord's footsteps, and obviously Jesus was very giving, you know, and the Lord is that way giving to us, the question we ask is, am I a giving enough person that it would actually encourage somebody else to want to do that too? And boy, this is a tough one, isn't it? Because it comes back to my example. Am I setting the kind of example that others would say, "I want to be like that, I want to give too. If they're giving, then I want to give." Okay? Yeah, those are some tough questions right up front. But this passage, to me, it really opens up some things about our heart. We can check our own heart and see where are we, you know? Because if we're not that kind of person, then chances are we're probably too focused on me. You know, we're not trying to meet needs that we see around us, and the Lord opens those doors. So let's go on in the passage in verse 3. He says, "But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident." So he says here, you know, that I'm sending some Christian brothers ahead of us before we come to actually pick up the offering. And when these guys come, one of the reasons I'm sending them is that you might get everything ready, okay? And, you know, it's tough to start something and then not finish it, you know, or say, yeah, we'll go ahead and do this. And then it comes where you didn't follow through with that, you know. Even this morning, somebody reminded me of something I was supposed to do a while back, and I forgot about it and didn't do that, you know. And you get that feeling like, oh, man, I could have done something. I didn't do that, you know. So Paul is trying to save them that kind of embarrassment, you know, where they're put on the spot, where all of a sudden Paul shows up and the thought is in their mind, oh yeah, we were supposed to have that gift ready, you know. So he's sending these guys ahead of time. He goes on in verse 5, "So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift and not as one grudgingly given." So he's saying this way, you know, you guys will have everything in order when we get there, and you'll say, yeah, here's the gift, man, it's ready to go. Rather than us showing up and everybody going, oh man, I forgot about that, and I'm not ready today, and you know, all that grudging, it looked like you're just having to give now rather than you're overjoyous about opportunity to give. So he brings us to some interesting thoughts here too. Early accountability helps us avoid getting embarrassed, for one, okay? And also it helps get the job done with the right attitude. So think this one through. Because Paul was willing to send these guys ahead of time to kind of get things together, now when Paul shows up, it's going to be awesome, right? Because now the church is ready, and they're able to say, yeah, man, here it is. We love you guys. Here's our love gift that we wanted to give to those people. And that's all ready to go. So the Lord is showing us it's a good thing to be ready to give when God has laid it on our heart ahead of time, and then to follow through with that. And it can help us get it done with the right attitude. Because, you know, if you're put on the spot, it's tougher, you know, than to have to just say, okay, we were preparing this a long time. We've been praying for you guys, asking the Lord to bless you guys, and here it is. Now all of a sudden we've got to say, oh, man, and we have that look of frustration and tension. So he gives us some great guidelines here to help us out. That if you got a gift like that and you're preparing something ahead of time, try to make some kind of accountability for yourself, you know, that is going to be helpful to you to get ready for that. We've got some real, I guess you call them advantages these days, you know. If you've got your little Palm Pilot things, you can put a reminder on there. Computers, you can throw reminders on there that pop up and tell you something's coming. I assume a lot of the cell phones now have that capability too. So we have ways to set up accountabilities for us to help us remember when we planned on doing something to help somebody else. For us, we've kind of used the bulletin for that. You know, we've got this meeting coming up for the county fair coming up, and we've been kind of leaving that in front of us as a reminder to say we got to keep preparing for that, keep praying for that, and hopefully be able to meet some needs as we meet people out there. So there are ways we can come up with our own accountability means just to help us stay on track with what God has called us to do. Let's go on to verse 6. He says, "Remember this." So here's something to help us in our thought process, okay, when it comes to giving to meet needs that we see. "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." So a little thought here for us to put in our process of thinking. Plan a little and you get a little. Plant a lot and you get a lot. And he's going to talk about this some more. But, you know, this is something we can relate to, and they could as well. If you're a farmer and you're hoping to have a large crop, you know, a large harvest at the end, then you don't just throw a few seeds out and hope that you're going to get a large harvest. That just doesn't work that way. If you want a large harvest, you've got to plant a lot, okay? And that's the principle he's showing us here. And he's going to, right away that brings up some questions in our mind, doesn't it? We're saying, well, wait a minute, if I give a lot, then I'm going to be missing a lot, you know? So what's going to happen with that? And he's going to give us some encouragement on that side too. And I thank the Lord, he really opens the door for us to realize God wanting to bless us as we get into this and see what God has to say. Because we get down to verse 7, and now he gives us some guidelines for giving. And this is simply to help us in how we should think about giving when we're helping other people, especially God's children. Okay, let me just say this, because the thought keeps coming to me as we're looking at this. We mentioned it last week. I really believe the Lord allows people to have not enough, brothers and sisters in Christ I'm talking about, who go through a difficulty, and he's allowed other brothers and sisters to have more. And it's so we can meet that need and we can express our love. Okay? If that makes sense. That it's not, I mean, the God could easily meet everybody's needs. You know, there's no problem with that. The Lord says he has a cattle on a thousand hills, right? So he has no need for money. That's not his deal. But he allows us to have areas of lower and higher that we can give, and we can come more to a balance in there. And that gives us a chance to express our love, and it goes both ways, we're going to see, as we get into this passage. Okay? So I know some of you, the Lord has gifted you in this area of giving, and this passage too is kind of a no-brainer. It's like, yeah, we know these things. Well, that's the Holy Spirit that's impressed that in your heart already, okay? So that's understandable. But for those of us who may not have that gift of giving, as we read through this, the Lord gives us some excellent guidelines on how God approaches giving, and that's helpful for us to see. So let's go on to verse 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, a few things here I notice as we look at these guidelines he shows us. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. It doesn't say what he has decided in his mind, if you'll notice. It says what he has decided in his heart. Now, for us to give from our heart, we're going to have to be in tune with the Lord, okay? We're going to have to say, Lord, would you please lay on my heart what you want me to give? Now, I can tell you kind of a little secret, I guess. Lisa and I have this deal because we are one, right? Being married. So when we have an opportunity to give something, we usually do this. Lisa will say, what's your number? Okay, and then I'll say, what's your number? And we'll see, you know, and usually we go in between the two because she's more generous than I am a lot of times, just to let you know. But we have this thing, and it works very well for us, you know, because, and we're doing that. We're seeking our Lord, what do you want? You know, what do you want us to do? And it's from the heart. It's not from the mind. And I think it's so awesome that God told us, decide in your heart what you should give. Because, see, this is a love thing. It's not a business thing. It's a love thing, okay? We care about these people. They're our brothers and sisters in Christ. So how can I help them? All right? And it comes out of love, not out of, well, here's the finances, here's the business, and we got to go, what can we do here and what can we do there? All right? It's, Lord, you show us. You know what's best. We trust you in guiding our heart in what we can do. Okay? And that's the best way to do it. The Lord gives us awesome guidelines here. He then goes on to say, don't give reluctantly. And that's something to think about too, because he's saying don't give that and say, oh, you know, we've got to pry it out of our hand because we really don't want to give it. The Lord said don't give that way. You know, long time in churches, people have given with strings attached. And that doesn't always work too well because that can cause some conflict in the church sometime. But a lot of times, people will give, but it's that reluctance of, if I give it to you, I expect this, you know. I want to see this picture on the wall or some kind of thing like that, you know. And you're supposed to do that with the money I gave. It's kind of like it's my money. Well, the Lord is saying, don't give reluctantly. When you give, let go of it, okay. And he's saying, whatever the Lord's laid on your heart, accept that if it's from the Lord and say, okay, Lord, here it is, it's yours, and let go. Okay, don't reluctantly hold on to that. Then he goes on to say, don't do it under compulsion. And the idea there is, don't give in response to pressure. You know, this bothers me. We have people that play on us, you know. Salesmen are pretty good at that. They're trained that way to work on you, to make you want to give. And there are ministries out there that do the same thing. I mean, they will put a guilt trip on people to make them give. And that's wrong. God says that is not the way giving is to be. So if you are being pressured to give, don't give, okay? The Lord does not intend that. That's why, Lord willing, we don't have things here where we pump you up and say, okay, we're going to put this goal up and we reach this goal and all these kind of things. And you see the little thermometers that we fill up or anything. We don't, Lord willing, we'll never get into that stuff because that's putting pressure on people, I think, in a very bad way to try to make them feel guilty to give or putting pressure. That is not God's way of doing things, okay? And I know there are a lot of ministries out there that do that. That is not the way. So I praise the Lord that He's laid in our heart that we just trust the Lord to take care of things. We don't worry about stuff. If the Lord wants it done, if He's in it, we know it's going to happen. If He's not in it, then it won't happen. And that's just, we just trust the Lord in those things. So the Lord shows us some great guidelines for giving here. Don't give reluctantly. Decide in your heart how much God wants you to give. Don't give in response to pressure. And then He tells us the reason for all of this. He says, for God loves a cheerful giver. Man, let that one really sink into our heart, okay? God loves a cheerful giver. Whatever we give to the Lord, do it cheerfully. Because that's what God does for us. Look at all the things the Lord has given us. You know, we're able to be here today. We've got the health and strength to be here. You know, the blessing, if you had a way to get here, God provided travel. Just all the things we take for granted, you know. God has done all of that for us, and He does it cheerfully. He loves to bless us and take care of us as a great father would. So the Lord tells us He loves a cheerful giver. And, you know, if you're not cheerful about giving it, don't give it. Don't do that because I've heard some sad things, and I'm sure you have too. Excuse me. One guy said, we were talking to him about the Lord, and he wasn't saved. He didn't know the Lord, so not too surprised by his response. But, you know, we asked him, do you think you're going to go to heaven when you die? And he said, I better for all the money I've given to the church. And he was serious about that, you know, and it's like, oh, man, you really missed the boat on this. That's why it's so important for us to get into God's Word and see what God's like, you know. God doesn't have this cash register up there and say, when you've cashed enough in, now you can come in, kind of a thing. He's not into that at all, you know. As I said, the Lord reminds us, He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He doesn't need our money. You know, He doesn't beg us for our money. He doesn't do that. I've watched some of the programs on TV, as I'm sure you have, and some of these ministries make it sound like the only thing the Holy Spirit is interested in is you giving your money. You know, because the end of the program always comes down to that, you know. And they talk about you planting your seed. And they even, I heard the one I told you about before, it said, even if you don't have a seed, plant it anyway, you know. Write that check, even if you don't have the money right now. And that's horrible to do that to people, you know. That is not allowing people to give as God called us to give. So be careful about ministries even that will pressure you to give and put that on you to give because God loves a cheerful giver. Now, just to help us think about this a little bit more, this is a thought that has kept coming to me as we go through the study here. You know, as little children, we get the picture of how not to be a cheerful giver sometimes as you watch kids. The little guy's playing with a toy, and he's taking it away from his sister, you know, and dad or mom has to say, give the toy back. They had it first. You know, well, okay. And they're real ungrateful, unhappy, uncheerful about giving that thing back. And that's kind of how the Lord looks at us. He doesn't want us to be that way of saying, well, okay, I'll give if I have to, you know. No, the Lord wants us to be cheerful when we give. And like I said, He's given us the guidelines. If we simply follow His guidelines, we will be able to be that cheerful giver. Now, God's made a promise to us. Like I said, one of the thoughts that comes to mind is, well, if I give a lot, then I'm going to be missing a lot, you know. And the Lord answers that for us. If you look at verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So He's going to talk about that a little bit more, but He tells us here that God is able to take care of you. All right? And remember, Jesus told us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So he doesn't put this qualifier up there that we need to hold on to everything we can and then, you know, just give a little bit if we have some extra kind of a thing. No, remember he told us in the last chapter, chapter 8, how giving those people were, they gave above and beyond what they were able to. Okay? Now, let me throw this in there because this is important for us to catch. I'm not telling you to be giving to this church or this ministry. If you notice, I'm not mentioning that because the passage is not mentioning that. Now think this one through with me. This passage is saying they saw a desperate need in their brothers and sisters in Christ, and they met that need. It is not talking about a church here that you just give because the church wants your money kind of a thing. That's not the picture at all. It's saying where you see the need, that's where you give. Okay, so I just bring that up because I know there are so many times that people go to church and say all they talk about is giving, 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 you know, and it's like they just want our money is the thought that comes out of that. Now, if you've been with us for a time, you've noticed we have not talked about giving at all until we got to chapter 8 and chapter 9 of Corinthians. So we've gone through Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, and now in 2 Corinthians we're talking about giving only because it's in the passage, all right? And I think it's cool that we don't have to push that. Like I said, we just trust the Lord. If the Lord wants us to have something, He'll provide for that. And if He doesn't, then there's a reason for that. And we'll just go with that. Okay? Yeah, so just to bring that up to your thinking here. But it tells us in verse 8, God's able to make that grace abound to you so that you will have all that you need, He says, and you'll be able to abound in every good work. Meaning you'll be able to help other people too. Okay? Now, if you step back and look at this picture, God has shown us a picture of love. It's really what He's talking about. That we've got our brothers and sisters who are hurting, and we care about them. We want to help them. Okay? So, our love is what's really being shown here. If we're able to do something, then we do. Okay? And that's the love that's coming out of it. So, that's what God is saying. I want you to be able to abound in every good work. I want you to be able to help other people because that's love that's being shown, all right? And just as a reminder, too, we talked about this last week. Where do we have in our world today a lot of Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, who have real needs? And a lot of times it's on the mission field. You know, there are missionaries out there who have given their life to serve, and they're the ones who have the real financial needs. You know, as we look around our country, the Lord blesses us so much in our country with prosperity, wealth, the things we have, the comfort we have. We're really not hurting on desperate need like that. But our missionaries in different places of the world, they are. One of the mission groups that is on our heart is the Gospel for Asia, and I mentioned that last week too. But they're able to survive on $30 a month for one missionary that really supplies all their needs to make it, you know. And they're really out there ministering for the Lord. They're getting beat. Some are getting killed over in India. That's where their ministry is at. So we do have brothers and sisters who are in desperate need, and that'll help get the gospel out there too. So you can check into some missionaries, and that's a good avenue to look if you have a heart to give like that. Now let's go on in verse 9 because he explains this a little bit more. He says, as it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. You know, the Lord has always had a soft place in his heart for the poor. If you read through back in the book of Psalms, you'll really see the openness of the Lord. He says, you know, I'll take care of the poor people. You better be careful how you treat them because I'm watching those people and I really have a heart for them. And, you know, this here goes even beyond that, I think. He's also talking about the spiritually poor. Because he said his righteousness endures forever. And when he says he scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, that's you and me. We are spiritually poor. Okay, the Lord tells us before we came to Christ, we were spiritually dead. And He spread His gifts to us, a special gift of His Son, that we might have life. And thankfully, it says His righteousness endures forever. That means that when He has blessed you with His righteousness through His Son, and we're now in right standing with God, that's going to go on for eternity. And I tell you what, those verses really bring comfort to me because I know one day in heaven, as we're in eternity going on and on with the Lord, He's not going to wake up one day and say, you know what, guys, I don't think I want you anymore because you look unrighteous to me today. That day will never come because He has blessed us with His righteousness, and that righteousness endures forever. Can you imagine that in eternity? God's going to look at you and me, and He's going to say, man, you guys are awesome. You know, I just love the righteousness that you have. And it's His righteousness. It's not even ours. But He blessed us with that in our spirit. So yeah, we are like this now. We are those poor God has ministered to, and His righteousness endures forever. So God is that example for us, isn't He? Here's something for us to chew on now. If we follow through and we follow the guidelines God has told us in giving, then God will generously provide all we need with plenty left over to share with others again and again. And the Lord has a bottomless well when it comes to finances and resources and all these things, right? We don't have to worry about Him running out. So if the Lord supplies our need, then we can meet others' needs too, as we see needs that are out there. So there's an encouragement for us too. God wants us to help others, and He's willing to bless us to bless others. And we can be part of that channel He wants to use. Verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. So here we see, since God provides the extra to share, He's also going to provide the opportunities to share. Notice something here as He talks about this. He said, the one who supplies the seed. Where does the seed come from? God made the seed, right? And any farmer who has seed, it's only because God has allowed that. Think about this. You know, God could bring a drought in an area for a couple of years, and you don't have seed anymore. All right? So God could remove the seed if He wanted to. So it lets us see, where does that come from? The seed comes from the Lord. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. Now, what is bread in the context of what He's talking about here? Bread is that seed that was turned into nourishment. Think about that. As they had the seed, they were able to plant it, able to see it grow. God gave it the produce. Now they could take it, you know, and make it into something useful. Use it for the bread now that is now good for food. Who provided the seed? God did. Who provided the bread in the passage here? God did. So bread is kind of that opportunity for the seed to do something now and to be nourishing to someone, to be good for someone else. So as God's provided not only the resources for us, He also provides the opportunities. And guess what? Jerusalem was the opportunity He provided for this church to show their love. Isn't that awesome? I mean, we look at Jerusalem and those guys are going through a really tough time right now. They are hurting. And yet God is allowing that. For that reason, He wants the Corinthian church to express that love. Now, why is that so important? Remember Jesus said, He told the disciples before He went to the cross, I give you this new command, love one another as I have loved you. You love one another. And He says, by this the world will know that you're my disciples. Because see, Corinth was a distance away from Jerusalem. As Corinth is now taking this offering, and it's going to go all the way back to Jerusalem, people are going to hear about that. And they're going to ask the question, why would you guys give up some of the wealth that you have for this poor area here? Why would you do that? And what's the answer? It's because of love. It's because of God's love in our heart, and He has us loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. So isn't that awesome? Now that gives the picture to the world of this love that Jesus was talking about. So yeah, this is really important to the Lord, see? Because these are pictures of love for the world to see. God is a God of love. We have to do things God's way, but God is a God of love. And that's what He wants the world to notice. Now it says there that He's going to enlarge that harvest of your righteousness in verse 10. And He's telling us there that we will have opportunities to see that harvest come up. And I'm not so sure that's not talking about our rewards in heaven too. Remember Jesus said, don't store up your treasures here on earth. Store your treasures in heaven. Because they are wroth and the moths don't come in and destroy it. Rust doesn't corrupt and those kind of things. So I think the Lord might be telling us, hey, whatever you give here, you're not going to lose anything. All right. Even if you don't see it come back in this life, it's okay. Because I'd be honest with you, I'd rather see it come back in the next life. That's eternal. Those rewards God gives us there are going to last forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So a lot of people, you know, the ministries, you hear them saying, man, bless us so God will bless you kind of a thing, you know. And that's temporary. You know, this could be over tomorrow for us, for all we know. So why would you want it now? I personally want it later. Because I'm saying, okay, Lord, I want to be on the other side and have the Lord say, well done, a good and faithful servant. And step here, you know, and everybody see that this is what you've done for me. Yeah, I'd rather get that reward over there. And I'm not so sure that's not what he's pointing to here. Verse 11. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Now notice something. Gifts that meet needs bring spontaneous thanksgiving and praise to God. So he's saying here that as we meet somebody's need, what are they going to do with it? They're going to say, thank you, Lord, for that. We just praise you, Lord. Thank you for providing our need. So by something that we have done, we have caused somebody else to thank our God. That's pretty cool. So here's another question I've asked myself. Do I meet needs that cause people to praise God? Have I done that in someone else's life where I brought glory to the Lord because they have praised God because I blessed them with something? And there's a good check for us, you know, because we have that opportunity. As the Lord blesses us, we're able to bless others. And then we can cause people to praise the Lord too. Now, in verses 12 to 14, we've got some of the results of giving God's way. It says, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. So the first thing we see is, it says it's not only supplying the needs of God's people. If we're able to help somebody else, we are, number one, supplying their need. Notice it's not their wants or anything. It's what they really need. And that's an awesome thing. If you've ever been on the receiving end where you've had needs and God provided for you, you know how awesome it feels to say, God, you really do care. I know you're there now because you've met my need. So that's the first result. Then he says it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. So you've caused a lot of other people to thank God for that. You know, and as you hear people's needs met, you're able to, and they thank God for it, you can say, man, I thank the Lord too. That's awesome. So when we give like that to meet needs, it causes people to really thank God and praise Him for that. It goes on in verse 13, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. And the picture there is that you'll be bringing glory to God by being obedient. As God has laid it on your heart, as you have followed the Lord and His guidelines and done what He said, it lets people know that you are praising God with your life by your obedience. And that's going to bring more glory to Him. And I thought it was interesting. It mentions this accompanies your confession of the gospel or the good news of Christ. In other words, it lets people know we're not a hypocrite. There are a lot of people out there who will wave the badge of Christianity when they think it'll make them look good, you know. But the Lord is saying here, your life should make Him look good, not use Christianity to make you look good. So I'll think that one through. Then he goes on, he says, that will accompany the confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Lord wants us to be these kind of people that are giving, and it's causing people to thank God, causing people to praise Him. And a lot of people are lifting their voice in praise to Him. So therefore, our life can bring glory to God. Okay? That's awesome to think that one through too. Verse 14, in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Now think about this. When they say thank you, they're going to pray for you with deep affection. You know? It's like, man, those people really cared. Thank you, Lord. I ask you to just really bless those people. You know, in our life, as we were starting out in ministry some years back, and we were in different areas, we were in Kansas City for a while, and the Kansas City area, and then we came back to the St. Louis area, and then we've really focused more on the Illinois side here. When we first started out in ministry, we went through some real financial low times, and there were times that God really proved Himself that He was there, because we did not have the finances to meet needs and everything. And it was awesome for the Lord to bring people across our path who had said to us, God has laid it on our heart to do this. And man, they didn't know how deeply we appreciated that, because we had bills that were staring at us, and they gave us just the right amount to meet those bills. And I tell you what, when we said thank you, Lord, it was a real deep affection. Thank you, Lord, for this brother or sister in Christ who has been sensitive to your will, who has done what you've called them to do. There's a real affection that goes with that. Yeah, we had people in Kansas City. We had people a little further out in the Odessa, Missouri area that blessed us that way. We had people in Fairview Heights in our own area. We have people in St. Louis. And the Lord just provided for us at times when we just didn't have the means to do anything. The Lord actually brought people up and raised them up and put it in their heart to bless us. And man, there were so many Thanksgiving coming from us. You know, Lord, please bless these people. There were times we had anonymous gifts that came to us. You know, I finished Bible college in Kansas City. The last semester, we didn't have money to pay for it at all. I mean, we were at the end of our rope, and I called the pastor I was with at the time, and I said, I guess the Lord's telling me not to finish because maybe it'd be a thing of pride or something. I don't know, but whatever it is, that's okay, you know. And he said, no, don't you stop now. And he said, you hang in there. Give me a week, he said. And man, he came back, and he said, someone has provided for your needs, and they paid for the last semester of college, and we were able to finish. And to this day, I have no idea who that was, but someone anonymously said, no, we want to help out, and they stepped up and they provided for us. And things like that, they were anonymous givers. I have no clue who that was, but still I say, Lord, whoever did that, please bless them, Lord. Thank you so much for their giving, for the heart they've had. Please bless them, Lord. And this is so true. When your needs are met that way, you have a deep affection for those people who blessed you. Okay, yeah, there's some folks in St. Louis who blessed us many times over, and we were really struggling, and they're still in our hearts today, you know, because they cared, they loved us, they wanted to help us as they could, and it's just amazing. All different places, like I said, Odessa, Kansas City, all the way back, any place we've been in ministry like that and been hurting at times, the Lord has really blessed us through other people. So there are people around you today that might be hurting. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you can meet those needs, you know, and that's awesome. And especially, like I said, be praying for missionaries because they're out there. And a lot of times we don't see them, so we don't think about them. But they're hurting. You know, a lot of them are out there struggling sacrificially. And they are this low point where some of us are at the high point. We can bless them and help them. Okay? And there's so many blessings you see in this passage that come back to the Lord because of how he has helped other people. Okay? Now, the last thing it ends with is verse 15. And man, the Lord really brings it home with this. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And it's like words just don't do it justice to talk about how the Lord has blessed us with his Son. You know, all of us were headed for an eternity in the lake of fire with no hope. There was no way out of that. We were in death row just waiting for our time when it was our number was called. And yet the Lord said, I'm going to send my Son to take your place. He is going to go on death row and he's going to allow you to be set free. And he gave us that pardon through his Son. And it wasn't just he's sweeping everything under the rug. No, his Son took our shame, our guilt, our sin upon himself, and he went to that cross, and he paid the price for you and for me. And it was no little cost. Our sin has an eternal cost with it. So Jesus paid our sin eternally on the cross. And that's why I think we'll be thanking God for eternity too. You know, as we, like I said, we love people that have blessed us and take care of our needs. Man, we ought to have an awesome love for God because he has met our eternal need. And we didn't know we had that until the Lord opened our eyes to see that. So if someone is here today and they've never had the Lord open your eyes, I pray today the Lord would help you to see your need for his Son, Jesus Christ, that today you might enjoy stepping into that place of blessing where God has provided an eternity for you with himself. And only Jesus is the one that we can go through to get there. The Lord told us very plainly. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. So this passage on giving, like I said, we don't talk about giving, Lord willing, until it comes up in the passage. And that's when the Lord tells us we have to talk about it. And, you know, to be honest with you, it's not a pleasant thing for me to discuss a lot of times because I feel like I'm saying give to us, kind of like give our ministry. And that's why I want to be real clear. This is not talking about giving to the church here. It's talking about giving to the churches that have needs. It's talking about giving to your brothers and sisters in Christ who have needs. But it's not saying give to every church, okay? That's not the point at all. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, as we come to the end of our study, Lord, you have really challenged us as you show us your heart to give, and you've called us to give to meet needs, and you've also promised to meet our needs as we give of the surplus you have blessed us with, and even of the sacrificial giving we might do, Lord. I just thank you and praise you for the many people who have blessed us in our walk, Lord. And I pray that we will be a blessing in other people's lives. And Father, today, if someone has had an issue with not understanding the giving, I pray you make it real clear. Help them have an open heart to you, Lord. And we just want to thank you for what you're doing as you blessed us with your Son, the most awesome gift, Lord. We thank you and give you all the praise in Jesus' precious name.